Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here. Well, folks, very excited to welcome you to the Trinity Health Freedom Expo. Trinity Health Freedom Expo. And we are live here in Tinley Park in Illinois. And if you're watching us live right now, we want to encourage you, head on down here just outside of Chicago to Tinley Park, Tinley Park Convention Center. We'll be here the rest of the afternoon until 6 o'clock today, and then we will also be here all day tomorrow, 9 to 5 tomorrow. We encourage you to come on down and be with us. If you want to know about holistic medicine, if you want to have a better handle on how to improve your health, this is the place to be. We talk about this a lot on the program with our CGR wellness segment that we do every single Friday, ways that you can improve your health. And as you know, I'm very committed to health because of the challenges that I've faced, from being given 3 to 6 months to live in 2004 to the accident that I was engaged in 5 years ago. Naturopathic medicine has played a role in saving my life. I am very pleased to welcome to the program Larry Oberhuh. He is with Fresh Mouth Club, and this is Fresh Mouth Club. If you can see this, probably better if I hold it up there. Okay, there we go. This is a nanosilver technology toothpaste, nano silver toothpaste. And let me welcome Larry to the program. Larry, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Well, so let's get into what is it that got you into nano toothpaste? Yeah. What got you into that?
It's kind of interesting. I'm definitely not a dentist, but I kind of feel like I am now. But my background is mostly was insurance based. Honestly, I ran one of the largest insurance agencies in the country, and we sold health insurance. And Obamacare kind of really impacted our agency hugely.
Wait a minute! I thought Obamacare was supposed to give everybody better insurance and help everybody out. And
was supposed to do all kinds of great stuff. Now we're left with a health system that's in disaster. We have super high deductibles that people can't even afford to pay for, and premiums that are ridiculous. You know, back in prior to 2010, when I was selling policies, a family of four, two 40-year-olds and three kids, literally paid $500 to $600 a month with a $1,000 deductible. Today, they'll pay it, unless you're getting it subsidized and your income is below that level. But if you're not, I mean, that same policy would cost you $2,500, and you'll have a $7,500 deductible. So, I mean, it's completely destroyed. The insurance system for the middle class. I mean, if you're poor, you get it for free, and you get lower deductibles if you're below those poverty levels. And of course, if you're above that and you're rich and you work for corporations, you get better insurance anyway. So the guys in the middle class, it got destroyed. But including us, my agency was completely wiped out. But one of the things that we did do is we were able to create our own product line. So we actually created a dental insurance plan. So we have our own dental plan.
Okay.
So Complete Care Dental. From that, we did some administration for some other companies with it, too. So we kind of got involved in the dental field. That's kind of where we moved into. And actually, originally, I was just going to make a preventative health, you know, dental program for the members, you know, toothpaste and stuff. So I was just going to put Crest in a bag with a toothbrush and some other stuff. But much like anything else, I mean, when I tend to do something, I kind of dig a little bit too deep, and really I wanted to put the best, you know, in there so that we had something to kind of sink our teeth into. So when I started researching fluoride, toothpaste and fluoride, I kind of, you know, went down a different, you know, direction and found that fluoride is literally toxic waste. I didn't know that. I mean, it's
interesting.
I mean, a lot of people think it's a natural product. That's fluoride. Fluoride is totally different than fluoride. Fluoride is literally manufactured, and it's a byproduct, a waste byproduct of making fertilizers. So we literally scrub smokestacks of soot.
And we convince people that somehow it saves your teeth.
Yeah, somehow it does. Well, what it does do is, and they found that in very microscopic amounts, 0.004 parts per million is the exact dosage. At that level, it kills the bacteria that causes tooth decay. That's where they hang their hat on. It actually does some other things, too, that we could kind of get into, but that's its main thing. And, okay. and supposedly won't hurt us. Well, fluoride is like a heavy metal, and it stores in our body, so that is actually not true. And it does absorb sublingually. A lot of people say, well, you're not swallowing it yet. It's getting into your bloodstream. So it is not good for us. If you remember Hitler, I mean, you know, back in history, Hitler fluorinated his water, and that was to dumb down the population of the concentration camp. It actually affected their brain. Stalin did the same thing.
Wow.
It actually, it's a neurotoxin. If the CDC labels fluoride as a neurotoxin, it's literally hazardous waste, and they have to use hazardous waste protocols to remove it. So chemical manufacturers should have to pay millions of dollars to remove fluoride safely, but instead they get to sell it to municipalities to put it in our water and in our toothpaste. That's amazing, right?
Holy Julia. So it's the only thing that would be left in one of those mouths, maybe, is the teeth.
Yeah.
Everything else around it is going to be rotted, including who knows the face
The side effects.
I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, the side effects of fluoride run pretty rampant. But you know, receding gums, tooth decay. You know, which is the one thing it's supposed to prevent.
Right.
Causes fluorosis. Fluorosis is one of the biggest drivers of tooth decay in America today. 67% of Americans have the beginning stages of fluorosis. That's when your teeth literally fall apart due to fluoride. So that's what it's doing for us. So obviously I didn't want to do a fluorinated toothpaste, so I looked at I looked at holistic toothpaste. So
okay.
I said, well, that's what we're going to do. We'll do holistic because that's better. So again, researching that, I found that the majority of holistic toothpaste don't really cut it either, and it's actually statistically proven that a lot of these toothpaste, you get more cavities. And the reason is there's no antibacterial quality strong enough to kill the bacteria that causes tooth decay and gingivitis, which are pretty hard to kill. So that's one of the big issues with those. So, you, like I said, statistically, we'll get more cavities and have more oral problems with
right.
those.
Okay.
So there I was left with the dilemma.
Then you have the commercial guys who stay up. See, we told you, don't use their stuff.
That'll,
you know, use our poison instead.
Right, and that actually gave a drive the dentist and stuff a lot. That they say, see, when you don't use those products, it's worse for you. Which is, and technically, they're a little bit right, but, you know, I mean, it does kill bacteria that causes tooth decay, but it also will kill you. But, you know, that's beside the point.
Your teeth won't be bothering you.
But you'll have, yeah, exactly. So that's when I kind of set out to kind of create our own. So what I did. So we created our own toothpaste, which was not what I had anticipated to do when I set out on this, but that's where it went. So in looking into some different stuff, I discovered silver and the amazing properties that silver has. So silver does amazing things in our bodies.
Now, as an insurance guy, you know, you dealt with actuaries, you dealt with, you know, statistical data and so on and so forth. I have to assume that in looking at this and at looking at these different products, that that kind of detailed statistical analysis was a part of the process.
Right, and that's actually where I get my weirdness, where I got to look really deep into stuff and kind of go deeper, you know. So yeah, so that's kind of where that came from. And you know,
which is good for us.
That's right. So we're left with a pretty amazing product, or at least that's what most of our customers. I mean, you know, our customers love it when you try it. I mean, it's really an amazing toothpaste. It has phenomenal flavor to it, and it really gives you a fresher, cleaner feeling than anything else is capable of. Because silver has a few unique features to it, but one of them is that it kills all bacteria, germs, virus, and fungus on contact.
Okay.
But it does not harm good bacteria in our body. And that's because it actually should, it's designed to be in our body. It's a trace mineral that we need. Higher concentrations of silver in our blood system actually make us more resistant to sickness and illness. So it's actually very good for us to have it in us.
I'm going to ask you, I don't know if you got into this in your research or not, but maybe you can explain this. Because a lot of this, you know, when I think about this, of course I'm 60, so maybe that's why, but when I think about this, I think about the term blue bloods.
Yeah. That's actually where it came from. So high concentrations of silver in your blood actually turns your blood a tinge blue. Thus, blue bloods. That's exactly where that came from. Actually, the elites of the world actually know this, and they regularly take silver on a regular basis. That's what silverware was created for in the 1800s. Because as you're eating, that doses you with microscopic particles of silver, which gives you an immune boost. That's exactly what it does. Drinking out of it. Alexander the Great, that far back, refused to drink any kind of liquid without it being in a silver goblet because of its antibacterial and healing properties. So, yeah, it dates back even into the ancient Egyptians. Prior to 1936, that's all we used for antibiotics was silver. So,
it would seem to me, too, that with a lot of the concerns of some of the rogue virus issues that are out there and not-so-rogue virus issues that are out there, that having something like this would be even more on people's minds.
Absolutely, and you know, immunity and stuff like that. That's why we created, actually, our mint is our original formulation. What you have there is our berry flavor.
Okay.
That's brand new, and what we did there is it's just not berry, it's elderberry. So elderberry, which is a huge immune booster.
Right.
Silver boosts your immune system more than vitamin C does. So we put elderberry, vitamin C, grapefruit extract along with the silver, giving you a super immune boosting blend, which in today's time, you know, I mean, that's never a bad thing. So it really gives you a nice boost while you're brushing. So
now, what does that do? I mean, relative to, so that the health of the teeth of the tooth is improved because you're addressing the bacterial issues? Okay, walk me through understanding that.
So a few things. Number one, super antibacterial. So it wipes out the bad, leaves the good. So it gives you a cleaner, fresher feeling than anything because of the way it kills.
Right.
But also, it actually, we use nanoparticles. So nano silver is extremely important because it actually is molecular in nature. It's not like colloidal. It actually can penetrate cellular level of our teeth and gums. What it does there is silver is also a healing agent. We use it today in the medical field as a silver nitrate to heal wounds and so forth.
Okay.
So inside of our teeth, the silver actually heals our teeth from the inside out. So nano silver particles are clinically proven, not me saying it, but actually clinical studies, actually regrow the enamel of our teeth. It actually regenerates enamel. It can heal a cavity naturally. We've had a lot of people, even our Facebook, that have actually had cracks in their teeth heal over in about 4 to 6 weeks.
And that's just brushing with
this.
That's
just brushing with our toothpaste, yeah.
What's a tube like this, about how long does a tube like this last?
So it's designed to be a month supply, so we do a month supply on it. We sell everything on our website individually, but we also do subscription. So subscription is kind of our big thing. So everything in our kits are our month supply, and we do monthly subscriptions where we send it out to you. Because we're just online, so we're not in stores. We are on Amazon, but we're not in stores, so you can't get it. So we just do, we make it cheaper in our subscriptions, and we give you free shipping.
So. FreshMouthClub.com. Give me an idea. What are we talking about on a monthly as a monthly investment on toothpaste?
So our toothpaste sells for $9.95 a tube. The berry is $11.99. It's a little bit more, but
okay.
$9.95, $4 shipping, so it's about $14. If you do our subscription, we give you the toothpaste, the toothbrush, our mouth rinse, which is a high concentration silver as well, so that you rinse with it,
okay.
And then floss and a timer in your first kit. That whole kit is only $19.95, and that's delivered to your door.
Now, talk to me about the toothbrush. What's unique about your toothbrush, real quick?
Our brush is pretty standard as a soft bristle.
Okay.
You should never use anything but soft. The big thing there is that you should replace your brush every single month because of the bacteria load. Our toothbrushes are literally the filthiest thing in our entire house. They got more bacteria than your toilet. Recent study, 30% of heart disease patients, it can be traced back to their toothbrush. So
wow.
That's how bad it is. So we recommend monthly replacement. That's
okay.
Why we do the system as well. So you're switching that out. But it's only a soft brush, so it doesn't abrade the enamel and so forth on it. And then we use UV cleaners to clean them on a daily basis.
Right.
We're really big on UVs because that cleans that bacteria on a daily basis, making sure you're always fresh, always clean.
Yeah.
That's kind of our motto.
Yeah. Well, I've got one of the Oral-Bs,
yeah.
And it has the UV.
That's good.
And so we use the...
So for our electric, we use Sonic. So
Oral. Well, that's what it means. It's not Oral-B, it's Sonic.
There you
I
go.
Apologize. It is
much,
Sonic.
Much
yeah.
better. Oral-Bs are abrasive, so they spin at
the
about 5,000 RPMs.
Yeah, no, it is, I apologize.
Yeah.
It is a Sonic.
That's
yeah,
good.
with the little skinny thing at the end,
you got
the diamond.
Put it right on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sonics
yeah.
are the better ones because they're not abrasive, so they're not
okay.
wearing away your enamel like Oral-Bs kind of will. They actually are aware of it. They're newer brush
well,
actually has a pressure
and,
sensor.
And, I mean, I can attest to those only from this perspective. My accident 5 years ago, never went to a dentist until about a week and a half ago. And normally with, you know, a hospital stay and you saw me, ICU
oh, yeah.
and all that, your teeth will rot away.
Yeah.
But because I'd been on naturopathics for 13 years before the accident and went back on them afterwards, and because of using the Sonic,
yeah.
I didn't have any issues.
Yeah, because Sonics
which is
will,
shocking.
Yeah, Sonics will kind of obliterate plaque buildup and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Exactly. Well,
super,
I can't
super,
wait.
Super
to, I can't wait to try this. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the Micronic Silver. I know you met Jeff.
Yes, I have. Yeah, Jeff's a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
so I'm very excited about putting this in my mouth.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, Larry, for being with us again. I just want to encourage you folks. It is the FreshMouthClub.com. FreshMouthClub.com, and I'll let my wife testify as to whether or not I have a fresh mouth here in a few days. And I want to again encourage you to get down here, Trinity Health Freedom Expo, and you'll also be able to find it online. It'll be a virtual in February, but man, if you want to know about holistic care and taking care of your physical temple, this place is so important and spiritual too. There's a lot of people here, a lot of faith people here. Faith tends to drive you to want to take better care of your temple. And so you're going to get a combination of the truly holistic approach. Larry, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, folks, take a break. We're going to take a break and we will be right back.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness, but now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in poor and needy communities, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Grigion and Joseph Generation Ministry that help us and support the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clearer. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead...
where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you so much for being here on Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased to welcome, first of all, I want to welcome you to the Trinity Health Freedom Expo. We are live at the Trinity Health Freedom Expo. And if you happen to be anywhere near Chicago, Tinley Park, Illinois, we will be here all day long, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll be here all day long. Great speakers, great content, and some incredible exhibitors that are here with some just life-changing product. And I really encourage you to come down and check it out. One of the products that a lot of you know that I use regularly is this one right here, Cocolasis. And Andrea, the creator of this, is here. And... so is the gentleman who, let me see if I got, there we go, Cure, and it has to do with copper. And we have that gentleman who will be joining us here in just a little bit, Morley Robbins. Joining me right now, though, Amazing Grace. It is a gut-wrenching story, but it is a story that is one man's fight for all of us to raise awareness regarding the medical genocide that is happening in hospitals across the country. And those of you who know me know my own personal story of the death of my father-in-law, who they killed. It's a horrible thing. So I want to welcome Scott Schar to the program. Scott, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It's my honor to have you with me, sir. And it's great to meet you in person.
Yeah, thank you. And we met over the airwaves back in February.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Talk to me, you know, might as well just tell you, because you don't know this history. I had forgot that I hadn't told you this. My father-in-law took a bad fall back in 2013, and we ended up having to take him to the hospital. He broke his shoulder, broke his hip. He was in his 80s, and so we took him down there. My wife stayed with him in ICU for probably 2 or 3 weeks. They went ahead and reset his shoulder, did surgery on his hip. He suffered from some dementia pretty significantly. And so bottom line, at the end of the day, we were able to get him through ICU and into the ACU unit. And my wife was exhausted. I mean, she had been there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week the whole time. And so knowing that he was in ACU, knowing that he was becoming more coherent, we were like, okay, well, you know, it'll be safe. She can come home for a couple of days and kind of recharge her battery,
yeah,
and he'll be okay. Well, that was on Sunday. We went back to see him on Wednesday, and we couldn't even recognize him. He was totally drugged out, all swelled up, and we were like, what happened? What's going on here? We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you. Okay, well, when? We've got to get our medical people together. We'll have a conversation with you. Okay, but what have you guys done? He was doing fine. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you. This went on for 48 hours. Finally, on Friday, they say, okay, we're going to have a meeting with you, and we meet with a medical staff. That's somebody else's. I'm on air right now. Thank you. And so here we are on Friday, and essentially they said, well, we looked at his diminished condition. We took him off his heart med that he'd been on for 20 plus years because he had a quadruple bypass. They took him off of the dietary that, you know, that took the fluids off, and they amped up his pain meds. So he was like not present. And my wife's an only child. And she's like, well, put him back in his heart meds, give him back the medication that he'd been taking, Lasix or something along that line, okay, and amp down the pain meds so that he can come back to reality. Well, we really don't feel like that would be the appropriate thing to do. And really, more than likely, what's going to happen here, we've seen these conditions, he's going to aspirate, and that's probably how he's going to die. 12 hours later, he aspirated. They sedated him further and were letting him drown in his own vomit. They finally call us. ICU calls, because ACU finally had to send him. They had to release him to ICU because of their protocols. Well, what ACU didn't know was that my wife had been with these ICU people 24/7 for almost 3 weeks. They knew her very well. So they called us and they're like, hey, there's a problem with your dad. And we're like, okay, well, what's the deal? Well, he's back here in ICU. We're thinking, oh, okay, setback. No worries. No. We're pumping black junk out of his lungs. It looks like they were letting him drown. I held his hand as he died. They killed him. They straight flat killed him.
This has been going on a lot longer than people realize. Yeah. So, I mean, your story is 9 years ago. And
yeah.
People think it just started with COVID. It didn't start with COVID. I mean, I've been woken up to what you just shared. You know, when Grace died, I had no idea. I thought her death was an anomaly to start with. As I went through the records, I thought, well, I better share these with the hospital because they would want to know what they did so they don't keep doing it. That's how dumb I was at the time. And so on November 8th last year, I gave all the research I had done, because I had organized the records, laid it all out, and I sent it to the hospital requesting a meeting with the doctor and the CEO. And it took them 3 weeks to respond, rejecting the idea for the meeting.
Wow.
And then that opened up, you know, one step after another. And, you know, ultimately, I became awake and realized after I had about 500 hours of research that Grace, who had Down syndrome, which right. adds to this case,
sure.
that she, in April, I finally came to grips with that she was intentionally murdered.
And the laws allow them to do this. The law, the medical training, and I'm not saying all nurses are bad or all doctors are bad. That's not what, it's not our message. But a lot of the training is right, isn't it? It's score them, evaluate. What is their life worth on this arbitrary scoring system that has nothing to do with the smile and the heart and the love and the fact that they were created by God?
That's spot on. I mean, these medical professionals, and again, it isn't all of them. I went into a different hospital after Grace died, and they saved my life. But we want to believe that the doctors are following the Hippocratic Oath, but they, the ones that we're talking about, are not following the Hippocratic Oath. If you follow how they're trained in the principle of collectivism versus individualism. And so that is a score. So Grace was considered a useless eater. And people don't realize with COVID, it's come out now because people are analyzing COVID every which way you can. And the number one and number two causes of death in hospitals with COVID are elderly, number one, disabled, number two. Well, you know, it's going to be expanded, but those are in the first 2 years of COVID. Those were the number one and number two causes of death. Well, that's because of the scoring system.
Right.
People don't, if you connect the dots financially, 39% of our federal budget annually goes to fund Medicare and Medicaid. So there's a financial interest to take these people out because they cost society the most amount of money, 39% of our federal budget. So then what happened with COVID, it gave them the license to pull these shenanigans. You know, when your father-in-law died, and this is still today,
yeah,
the number three cause of death in the United States is medical malpractice. Well, that really was not medical malpractice. It was murder. But that would be logged as a medical malpractice case, and the doctors have such a big lobby. You cannot win a medical malpractice case. When Grace first died and we saw what happened, I talked with the best medical malpractice attorney in the state. And so he said to me, Scott, even in slam dunks like Grace's case appears to be, you can't win. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's a 1 in 10 chance of winning. I said, how can this
And be? You live in what state?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. See, and in Texas, where everybody thinks that it's, you know, conservative world, Texas's law says, the Texas law, even before Obamacare, which is where part of this came in as well, the Texas law says that the hospital can take medical custody of any patient they choose that they deem is it's medically necessary.
I mean, it's completely
safe. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason I'm sitting here talking to you, You saw my accident. You watched my testimony. So you know I'm a miracle. I should have died three times over, and I did. But my congressman, Lamar Smith, at the time, he and I had built a close relationship. He wrote the checks for University Hospital in his budget committee. My daughter, my family, contacted him as soon as this happened. He flew to San Antonio and came into ICU, and he put the hospital on notice that this was his friend.
Well, you're alive because of that decision.
I am alive, and I thank Lamar every day. And I understand the pain of those, you know, I understand. I built a relationship. It happened to be with somebody that had the ability to have some influence on the outcome of my life. I didn't know that it would when I built the relationship, but it shouldn't be that way.
This advocacy issue that you're bringing up is so big. So the old paradigm, when I went into the hospital,
20
with Grace,
seconds, tease this, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we got 7 minutes on the other side, and we'll take
Perfect. Yeah. We'll talk about advocacy then, because that's a big deal.
Well, and again, you know, all of this, folks, when we talk here about we the people, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the nation, the country, taking it back, man, if it doesn't start with the people who are in the greatest danger, I don't know where it does. We'll be back right after this.
You can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer. Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My very special guest, Scott Shara, is with us. The website is OurAmazingGrace.net. OurAmazingGrace.net. And we shared, you know, Grace was a beautiful young lady who fell ill. And tell us real quickly her specific issue that took her to the hospital.
Well, we had diagnosed her at home with COVID, but she ended up with oxygen saturation in the high 80s, and unfortunately we perceived that as an emergency. That's ultimately why she ended up in the hospital. We were told she'll be here for a couple days on oxygen and steroid. Nothing could be further from the truth. So they started her on a sedation drug called Presidex. Then they gave her three contraindicated drugs, Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine in a 29-minute window, which none of us could survive, and then they put an illegal do not resuscitate order on her. So when you look at this in the framework of what we talked about before the break of advocacy, so we were in the room other than 44 hours. I was in the room for the first 3 days. I was taken out by an armed guard for challenging what was going on. Then we had to hire an attorney to get my daughter in as a replacement advocate. There was 44 hours without advocacy. During that time, they increased the sedation drug that we had no idea that she was even on 7 different times. So the paradigm that I want to share is that Grace died. If I just put all the light on me, Grace died because I trusted the white coat. And we have been trained to trust the white coat, that they're following the Hippocratic Oath. And some of them are, but they have to earn your trust. The new paradigm with advocacy should be watch and make sure you are informed with every decision. You assume informed consent is happening, that they're going to talk to you about every single decision. They don't talk to you about anything. So you have to, this is ultimately why I got taken out by an armed guard. I was right there. I'm challenging every single thing. They did not like that. So you have to be there. Informed consent is not the case. You think that you're there just to comfort your loved one. That's the old paradigm. The new paradigm is you have to insist and be right there monitoring. Yeah. And if they don't do what you say should happen with your loved one, you get them out of the hospital, period. No questions asked. Think through. They gave Grace 3 meds that none of us would have survived without our permission, and put a DNR order on her without our permission. So, you know, this is real stuff. So you can't advocate at a high enough level to prevent this stuff. But you have to be there. That's the starting point.
It's just critically important. And you know, in our case too, you know, we my case, there was never not a family member present while I was in the hospital. You know, I think we kind of learned from 2013, because we had those several days when no one was present with my father-in-law, believing that everything was going to be okay, and it wasn't. And then the other side of advocacy is understanding that this could happen to there's no one that is listening or watching this program that could not be, or maybe even hasn't already been, impacted by this situation. And you're now suddenly woke up to saying, oh my gosh, that happened to my aunt, or that happened to my father, or that happened to my grandfather, or what have you. I thought it was, you know, I thought that was how it worked, or I thought that, I didn't realize that this could be stopped.
I'll be very pointed with this because your car accident is really a good segue into this. About 2 months ago, I was on a long podcast where the host wanted me to share the whole story. So I did, the entire story. And we got done. He said, Scott, it's not safe to be hit by a car anymore. And here's why. Just process what happens. You get hit by a car. You're taken by ambulance to the local hospital. Now they call your wife. And they go through their checklist. Where do you go to church? Is he vaccinated? So if your wife says that you're Christian unvaccinated, you will not come out of that hospital alive. Because the agenda, there's a financial reward to the hospital for taking you out. People do not realize this. The public health emergency just got re-upped for 90 days on last week on Thursday, October 13th.
Yep.
On September 19th, President Biden said the pandemic is over. Well, then why is the public health emergency relative to COVID-19 re-upped for another 90 days? And that keeps the PREP Act, which is immunity from liability, in place. And it also keeps the bonus payments to hospitals for using...
Which I've heard is as much as $100,000 per patient.
That's the average.
Yeah.
It's significantly over that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law passed away in our home, 90-plus years old. Her heart just finally stopped. I mean, she'd been on hospice for 7 years. But the funeral director told us that it's going to be listed as a COVID death, because the doctor who signs that certificate is going to get $10,000, and the hospital that accepts the certificate, even though she'll never go to a hospital, is going to pick up another $100,000.
Yeah.
So we've run out of time. I know. Look,
you and I could talk for hours.
We could. OurAmazingGrace.net. OurAmazingGrace.net. Please sign up to learn how you can advocate for your loved one. And we've got to change the laws. We have got to change the laws so that these medical folk are held accountable, and so this ideology is ended. Scott, God bless you, and thanks so much. You continue to be in my prayers.
Thank you very much.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. We are live at the Trinity Health Freedom Expo. Trinity Health Freedom Expo. And, folks, if you have an opportunity to get down here, Trinity Health Freedom Expo will be here till 5 p.m. today. And this is at the Tinley Park Convention Center in Tinley Park, Illinois. Tinley Park, Illinois, Trinity Health Freedom Expo. I'm sorry, Tinley Park, Illinois, in the Tinley Park Convention Center. And, folks, it's a great program, and I really encourage you to come down and check it out. Well, I'm, going around, the exhibit hall and meeting a lot of interesting people. And Marcy Friesner, His Child is the name of her book. She was on with me, I guess week before last. And she introduced me to a gentleman, and I thought, you know what, I would love to share some of their story and what they do. He is with Safer Foundation. He is the Associate Vice President and Center Supervisor at the Crossroads Adult Transition Center here in Chicago, Illinois. I want to welcome Mr. Irvin Robinson to the program. Irvin, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
So, Irvin, talk to me, first of all, talk to me about what got you into the transition and being involved with the foundation.
Well, I was formerly a police officer with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, and it wasn't a... the type of experience I had thought it would be.
Okay.
I got sick and tired of seeing people arrested over and over again. And while they were incarcerated, they didn't get the help they needed to return to society.
Okay.
And so I later on found out about the Safer Foundation, which is for 40 years has been dedicated to helping people with arrest records and people that have been incarcerated. And so I decided to join the Safer Foundation. And that has been a fantastic experience for me. What the foundation does, specifically Crossroads, Safer has two adult transition centers on the west side of Chicago that houses over 500 residents.
Okay.
These residents come from the Illinois Department of Corrections, and they have anywhere from 6 months to 2 years remaining on their sentence. When they come to Crossroads, they go through a orientation process that involves things such as anger management, parenting, substance abuse treatment.
Do you get to decide who comes? Is there a pre-screening to be accepted into your program, or is it whoever they send? How does that work?
Actually, the pre-screening is done by the Illinois Department of Corrections.
Okay.
And so they determine who comes to us based on their previous behavior while they were incarcerated and things such as that.
Is criminal history taken into account relative to the program that you're doing? I mean, relative to, you know, like a rapist or a violent crime versus someone that was involved in more of a misdemeanor or a robbery or something along that line?
That's an excellent question. Up until about a year ago, we would only accept nonviolent offenders into the program.
Okay.
But we've had several petitions to allow people that had had longer sentences, including violent offenders, to be allowed to go through the program. In fact, they were the ones that needed it most.
Okay.
Having been incarcerated 20, 30 years and having had to return to society without any help, what ends up happening, they usually, within 3 years,
end up recidivism.
Incarcerated again.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're talking about people, too, who have been in prison, paid their debt. Many of them are individuals that even perhaps have gotten involved in attempts to rehabilitate while they're on the inside, faith-based programs, things of that nature. But they went in as a young person for a potentially violent crime.
That's correct.
But they have been 20 years now working on why they know that they didn't want to do that.
That's right.
Made a mistake. And now they've been working on the inside, trying to be the best they could be on the inside, and now they've finished their 20-year sentence.
No, they haven't finished.
Or the board has said, you're going to be transitioning out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you, I'm sorry, because you said that. It's anywhere from 6 months to 2 years before they would transition out. So this is kind of a halfway process, but we're not talking Tommy Jones and Ashley Judd.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, when they first arrive at the transition center, they go through a 30-day orientation process.
Okay.
You know, that include all the different modules I talked about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And once they complete the 30 days of orientation, we find employment for them.
Okay.
And based on their previous skills and their abilities and whatnot. And if they come to us and they don't have a high school diploma, we'll provide them with services to get their GED.
So help them get it, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so once they've gotten their GED and we get them employed, we continue to work with them through that process because, as you can imagine, a lot of them never had a job before.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, and especially if they were 18, 19, 20 years old when they, when whatever happened happened.
Right.
And now they're 38, 39, 40 years old, and they've never been outside since that point in time. I'm curious, but, you know, there's a lot of this no bail stuff and violent offenders that, you know, are caught and then, bam, they're released. How do the people in your program that served their time, went through what they went through in the prison system, many of them working on trying to improve themselves and realizing, yeah, that was a mistake, I made a mistake, now I'm really trying to get my life together so that I can go on and do something productive with the next 20, 30 years, however long I've got.
Right.
How does that impact them?
That becomes very challenging for them.
I can only imagine.
Even getting employment, getting housing.
Because they get labeled in a way that's unfair to them to be labeled.
Exactly.
But then there's also got to be, I mean, it's just like when you have, I have Hispanic family that are like, you know, here's these illegals that come across and they get all this, and I'm over here, I came here the right way, I did this the right way, and wait a minute, the system is jacked.
That's right, and what people have to realize is if you don't give these people the help that they need, they're going to go back to being committing crimes again.
Well, everybody has a choice, but the problem is that you get pigeonholed in, and of course, then the other problem is we're just talking about society as a whole and the efforts that we're trying to do to improve everyone's life.
That's right.
No matter the neighborhood.
And when you take into consideration the people that parole directly from prison, there's a 45% recidivism rate.
Wow.
Compared to those that come through the adult transition centers, it drops down to 16%.
Congratulations for that.
So,
I mean, seriously,
yeah.
That's listen, you know, I one of my kids kind of got prodigal on me for a period.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to, I called my pastor who oversaw me, and he was moving me to a place, and I said, man, I'm disqualified, my family, you know. And he said, no, they're an adult, they made their own decision. And then I'm praying into it more, and God said, listen, 7 billion, you think they all doing it right? Okay. So if God the Father has rebellious children and he can see a path to redemption for them.
That's right. That's right.
Then we need to be having some grace to try to help people get redeemed.
Absolutely.
And I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And people don't realize how many of those residents and people that were formerly incarcerated have accepted Christ.
Yeah.
And that's
for real.
Not
the one that you get in the holding cell so you can try to get the judge to try to give you a lighter sentence.
That's right.
But the real deal.
Yes.
Working on it. And the real deal. Know the word probably more than a lot of the folks with their butts in the seats in the church.
That's it. And they're focused on getting back into society as taxpaying citizens and helping out in the community, which is one of the things that we do during those first 30 days. We allow them to go out to homeless shelters and food shelters and help out people in the community to help put back what they took away. And so it gives them a sense of being.
Amen. We're going to run out of time, and I hate that, but I want to get, because it's just finite times as they are. But I want you to tell me, what's the website? How can folks get involved? I've got to believe there's got to be some mentoring opportunities and things like that. You need businesses that will step up and say, hey, yes, I want to help out. I want to give somebody a chance. I want to give somebody a job. Pitch that for a minute,
oh,
please.
Yeah.
How do folks reach out to you and help?
Yeah, just Google Safer Foundation. We have a very good website that people that's incarcerated can actually work through in order to get registered with us. And so it's not only that we only work with people that are that haven't paroled yet, but if a person paroled directly from prison, they can also come to us and okay. We'll help them get jobs and housing.
And then what about, again, businesses or even community members that say, hey, this is a worthy cause. How can I help you, Irvin?
Yeah, and that's a fantastic thing. The employers that we work with tell us they rather have our residents as opposed to hiring people off the street because they know they're more focused and more, and they're going to be there each and every day.
Can they call you? Can I give this number out? How do I? Not the cell number, but the other one, the office number, the top number.
Actually, that's the number to the correction center.
Oh, okay.
But they would need to call our downtown office.
Okay.
At 571 West Jackson.
Okay.
And so when they go, if they Google.
And it's saferfoundation.org.
Right.
Go to saferfoundation.org, folks. Saferfoundation.org. Find out how you can become a solution and an answer in the Chicago area. Listen, I know everybody hears about what's happening in Chicago. I got a good friend of mine, Pastor David Lowry. He's connected with all the gangs and so on. We're trying to turn things around.
That's it.
And we can do it if we will work together. Saferfoundation.org is a great place to start. God bless you
Absolutely.
For being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.